They had double reason to celebrate Armistice Day. First, they were commemorating the end of the First World War 24 years earlier. Second, they were rejoicing over this morning's news that the French had called a ceasefire in North Africa after 3 hideous days of friends firing on friends. Meanwhile, the British had soundly defeated the Germans at El Alamein and were chasing Field Marshal Erwin Rommel west across Libya.
"Forward march!"
Tess obeyed. In the morning paper, she'd read Prime Minister Winston Churchill's moving statement. "This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is, perhaps, the end of the beginning."
"Company halt!"
"Company dismissed!" The ladies marched in formation off the field. North Africa. Was that where Dan had sailed? There'd been a terrific naval battle off Casablanca, and the Americans had sunk 6 French warships, maybe more. The papers hadn't reported any American naval losses, but they were often censored, for good reason. A shudder of fear, but she squelched it. Dan yearned for this, and it was where he belonged. When he returned, Mary or Lillian would tell her what he had done, and that would suffice. Dan certainly wouldn't write her. The only letter she'd received yesterday was from Yvette, but it was alarming. The week after Professor Arnaud announced the arrest of his cousin's caretaker, Henri Dubois had named a new informant in the meeting. Henri said this man was the best type of informant because everyone knew him as a Nazi sympathizer. "An excellent cover," Henri said. Now Professor Arnaud had received word that the Gestapo had arrested the informant and tortured him, until they discovered the truth. He really was a Nazi sympathizer. Henri had lied. He'd named a known fascist to see if the false information would cross the Atlantic. It had. Yvette was certain there was a spy in the group, and she was outraged. Tess's mouth twisted. Just because Yvette acted outraged didn't rule her out as a suspect. She drank in fresh autumn air to clear her mind and stop her runaway imagination. Today they were celebrating. Off the field, the waves dispersed and found their friends. Tess gathered Kate, Ada Sue, and Nora. To her relief, Kate and Ada Sue had welcomed Nora. Tess had been ready to put her foot down and say, "If you want to be friends with me, you'll have to be friends with Nora," as she'd done with Mary on the first day of 7th grade. Tess had never told Mary, but she'd said those words reluctantly. Tess had been the new girl in Vermilion, and coming from Manhattan's glittering art community made her instantly popular in that small Ohio town. Although she'd enjoyed Mary's friendship over the summer, the unpopular girl could have devastated Tess's social life. Mary assumed Tess had acted out of the goodness of her heart, but she was wrong. Tess had acted out of love of a winter coat in dark gold wool. Her mother threatened not to buy it if Tess abandoned Mary to make her wear her childish old coat that was too short. So Tess took her stand. She received her coat. And her friendship with Mary was founded on inauthenticity. Somehow it had grown into a strong, genuine, long-lasting friendship. With Nora, she'd been prepared to take a stand for higher reasons, but she hadn't needed to. Tess smiled at the three ladies. "No classes today. Let's explore Northampton." Kate grabbed Tess's elbow. "Absolutely not. Let's study and enjoy the privilege." Tess's shoulders sagged. "One little holiday, please." "After we graduate." Nora grabbed the other elbow and tugged Tess toward Capon Hall.
"Forward march!" Ada Sue led the way.
"You're mean," Tess said. "It isn't good to work all the time."
"We let you haul us around town on Sunday afternoons." Kate pointed forward, her arm ramrod straight.
"Forward march!"
"I need new friends."
Ada Sue flashed a smile over her shoulder. "You love us and you know it." She did, but she wrinkled her nose at the Southerner. Back in Capon Hall, the women fetched their textbooks and congregated in the lounge around a table. As much as Tess hated to admit it, final examinations were coming, and she did need to study. Nora opened her naval history textbook and explained the Battle of Jutland to Tess. Again. Thank goodness Nora explained things well, because Tess hated this subject with a passion.